It's the holiday run. It's the 11th leading to the 11th night and, of course, the 12th tomorrow. And for so many in Northern Ireland, that is the biggest day of the year. Now, we're talking about the injunction. I've been doing this since the weekend and talking about City Council and the Unionists in particular. We've been trying to get in touch with anyone from the Progressive Unionist Party, the Democratic Unionist Party, the Ulster Unionist Party, councillors, indeed, to talk about their support of the injunction in relation to those four controversial bonfires. We've been trying and trying, we have. We'll try Billy Hutchinson of the Progressive Unionist Party, see if Billy's on the line. Let's see if we can get through to him on line number one. Making an effort to get Billy Hutchinson, Progressive Unionist Party, just to talk about the injunction in relation to the bonfires. As a man who would know a bit about bonfires in his area, a representative from the Progressive Unionist Party, Billy Hutchinson. Having some difficulty getting through to Billy. Not available.
You say it best when you say nothing at all.
Jeff Dudgeon of the Ulster Unionists. We'll try Jeff. Jeff Dudgeon of the Ulster Unionist Party, the UUP. As yet, no luck with Jeff Dudgeon. I'm just listening, I'm hearing in my ear possibly Lee Reynolds of the DUP. Try Lee. Okay, go to line four. Lee Reynolds of the DUP, Democratic Unionist Party. Let's see if we can get Lee on line four. Is Lee's phone ringing? Maybe he's still in bed, is he? Maybe he's out, maybe doing a day's work. Are we on his holidays? Could be. It's unlikely they'd be away on their holidays. But, you know, they've got the 11th night coming up. Tommy Sanford, we'll go to Tommy Sanford's been on before, I would imagine. Tommy will take a call. Let's see if we can get Tommy Sanford. Any joy with Tommy? No joy with Tommy Sanford either. Aileen Graham of the Democratic Unionist Party, line 4. Aileen Graham is bound to be available. When I say bound to be, I'm sort of jumping to conclusions here. No. It's hard to get a unionist on this, isn't it? Graham Craig. Graham Craig is our port of call next. Graham Craig is with the Democratic Unionist Party. Let's try Graham. Any sign of Graham coming up on the line to talk about the bonfires, to talk about the injunction? Oh, hold on, we're in luck. Jim Rogers, Ulster Unionist Party. Jim, who's always available to speak to us on the programme. Let's go to Jim, who's on line four. Jim Rogers. Jim Rogers, Ulster Unionists. Jim? Are you there, Jim? Not a sign of any of them. Not a sign at all.
You say it best when you say nothing at all.
Are they playing it cleverly? That is a question. That question has to be asked as well. They're not available to comment at all. Let me speak to Jamie Bryson, who's a loyalist blogger and who's very much across representing people who would be in favour of building those bonfires that, or extending those bonfires that have the injunctions slapped on them. Jamie Bryson, good morning.
Good morning.
There's an element of the unionist councillors playing this very cleverly because there's a demand in the unionist community for those actual bonfires to be controlled, and common sense needs to prevail on council property.
I don't think they're playing it cleverly at all. I think you're being awfully kind to them there. I think there's one of two things here. The unionist councillors who took part in seeking this injunction against these areas of cultural expression either done so maliciously, alongside Sinn Féin, the SDLP and the Alliance, or they were fooled into it, at which point they probably feel quite foolish. But one way or the other, they need to come out and tell the people, you know, if they have a clever and a smart strategy behind this, well, then have the decency to come out and tell the people this is our position. Come on to the media and say, this is what we believe, this is why we've done this, and this is the purpose behind it. You know, I was representing a group, the East Belfast Community Initiative. We wrote to all unionist councillors over the weekend, and only three councillors responded to us. So if they don't want to speak to me, they don't want to speak to the groups representing the cultural expression sites, then why won't they talk to the media? What do they have to hide? And the longer they stay quiet, you know, the longer the suspicion builds and the longer the suspicion builds. And when you start putting out statements about almost everything under the sun, you know, God knows, putting out hard-line statements filled with the most hard-line language that one could imagine, but yet just fail to mention that you've allegedly joined with Sinn Féin, the SDLP and the Alliance to seek an injunction, is just beyond bizarre. So I don't think we're being clever at all. I think we've been made look extremely foolish.
But, Jamie, do you not accept that this is a special time? This is in the wake of the Grenfell tragedy. This is a time when there's a council in London being scrutinised in the most minute detail, and Belfast City Council cannot afford to have a tragedy or an embarrassment like has happened in London.
Well, if they are trying to spin this, that this is about public safety and health and safety, if that is the case, then why is the evidence put before the court secret? Why is the meeting where this decision was taken confidential? Why not come out and show us the health and safety assessments? Let us see them. You know, one of these bonfires, for example, at Sydenham and Inverley, the council came and put down sand for the bonfire. Obviously, no concerns. It's in the middle of a field that's not near anybody. So I would love to see the health and safety assessment for that. This is not about health and safety. This is about the next phase of the criminalisation and demonisation of unionist culture. And bonfires is just the next step into that phase. And if unionist councillors have been duped, foolishly duped into agreeing with us under the auspices of some fantasy about health and safety, then they're more foolish than they're actually appearing.
Is it not about trying to get a common sense approach to bonfires? There are many, many bonfires that will be lit tonight that will be absolutely within the spirit of the game, and everything will be thoroughly enjoyable. Yet
but we don't know what the spirit of the game is. We don't know what the spirit of the game is because...
But surely you should know what it is. If I know what it is, Jamie, you should know what it is. It's a celebration of orange culture, and it'll happen at many bonfires without hindrance tonight.
But the guidelines that the council have used when culturally targeting these particular sites of cultural expression, the guidelines they have used for this has not been published. The rationale has not been published. The arguments they put before the court has not been published. This has all been done behind closed doors. They've then bunkered into Belfast City Hall, refused to answer any questions over the weekend. And let me say this, the East Belfast Community Initiative letter, and if you read it at paragraph 13, the only reason that the council are backtracking today and having to come out and accept that lighting the bonfires is absolutely fine is because that was flushed out by paragraph 13 of that letter. So the bonfire groups can go ahead and have their bonfire tonight and light their bonfire, and they're not breaching any injunction. As a matter of fact, they're just simply going around it. And that is the fault of those who put this injunction together for leaving a gaping loophole. And naturally, they don't want to come out and admit that they have been made look so foolish. So they will come up with some other spin in relation to it, which is entirely transparent.
Do you think it's ideal to have cultural expression that leads to a pastor being on the radio concerned for the safety of his church while the housing executive are boarding up windows on really nice homes in the east of the city as we prepare to light an inferno that's going to be viewed by 7 fire appliances in case the properties belonging to those in the area go on fire? Do you think that is an apt and appropriate way to have cultural expression?
I think the most effective way to have cultural expression and to deal with these issues is to engage with the people involved and to do so in a voluntary engagement, a process. Not statutory regulation, not criminalisation, not seeking injunctions, which the people who sought the injunction don't even know what it means. And let me make another point. The injunction is clear. The High Court has said for these injunctions to take effect, they have to be affixed to a conspicuous part of the land. None of these injunctions have been affixed to any conspicuous part of the land in relation to any of these sites. So therefore, from the moment the injunction was given until now, it has not applied because it has not been served.
But in relation to the question that I asked you, that's the minutiae of the actual injunction, which obviously you've studied very, very carefully, and you've found the loophole in it, as you described last night on the television news. But regarding that massive bonfire that is going to be lit tonight, which is putting property at risk, is that the correct way to have cultural expression? Are you fully supportive of the lighting of that fire?
If, if there was positive engagement by councillors and by the council, I'm sure that there could have been some accommodation arrived at in relation to that fire. But instead, they haven't. They've used a sledgehammer to try and crack a nut. I'm confident that cultural celebration is not going to damage any homes. I don't think anybody would want it to damage any homes. And I think if anybody seriously and genuinely felt that they were going to damage homes in their own community, that they would take moves to prevent that. And I understand the fire brigade will be there. But this is an abject failure of leadership on behalf of those who are elected to speak.
And that's the crucial bit. They are the people who are elected to speak. You're not.
Well, absolutely, and of course, naturally, these unionist parties, through anonymous briefings, the newspapers, over the last couple of days, have tried to make much of that point, because it's a very simple strategy of attack the source to discredit the story. But it's very simple. Don't leave a vacuum and then complain when somebody fills it. So if you refuse to answer your phone, if you bunker yourself in at City Hall and somebody else comes out and fills that vacuum, that's not my fault.
Are you slightly disappointed, Jamie, that people haven't protested the way they did about the flag?
Absolutely not, because I was very clear from the start of this that this was a trap. They wanted a reaction, they wanted confrontation, and loyalism has dealt with this fantastically, strategically, has taken a step back, has dealt with this via correspondence to the council, via going into the media and articulating the message. Numerous news outlets yesterday were brought around bonfire sites, were given cheeseburgers, were given cups of tea, were treated fantastically. Gone are the days when news crews were being bottled and bricked at sites and chased. Loyalism took a different approach, embraced the media, embraced the art of sending correspondence to challenge this, and this injunction has fell apart. This injunction has been destroyed, and it has been destroyed via a carefully planned loyalist offensive within the media and a well-constructed letter which flushed out the holes in this injunction. So, no, I don't think street protests were the way to go. Street protests were never an option for me, certainly in relation to this. I think the way forward was exactly how it was handled, and I think it has been handled fantastically, and that is the story within this. How loyalism has learned the mistakes of the past, has not fell into these traps, and instead has defeated this lawfully and peacefully, and done so with, I must say, more engagement with the media than I've seen in quite some time.
Learn from your mistakes of the past.
No, learn from loyalism's collective mistakes of the past, not to fall into the trap, not to react at the trap that had been set. So I think that is what has happened this time, has been a more strategic approach, a better charm offensive, if you were, with the media. And I think that's come across well, and I think that's a story of this. And I have to say, I was with numerous media outlets yesterday going around many of the sites. They were treated very, very well. They were given burgers, tea, buns. It was fantastic. So I do find it slightly disappointing that perhaps one outlet sort of hid 200 yards away, took a picture of a couple of gentlemen stacking wood on the pallet, and then tried to sensationalise that and stick that on the front page of the papers, because that does not tell the story of yesterday, nor does it tell the story of the welcome that journalists and the media got at these bonfire sites, specifically in East Belfast.
You say they set out to get confrontation. Who set out to get confrontation? Because you could argue clearly that council set out to overcome a problem, and the way they've handled it and the way the local community, including the loyalist community, has reacted to it, there isn't a problem today. Actually, it's all very calm, and people seem to be looking forward to an enjoyable evening.
There's not a problem today, because the loyalist community has basically torn this injunction up and done so lawfully and peacefully. It's not worth the paper it's written on. It fell apart. It fell apart yesterday morning between 9:30 and 10:00. And the injunction has collapsed. It's a nonsense. So Belfast City Council have been absolutely humiliated. That's why there's no problem.
Yeah, but they're not delivering any more pallets to the site. They're not building the bonfire any bigger.
Well, here's the point. The majority of bonfires are finished by the 10th of July. The majority of bonfires are finished by the 10th of July. So that's a ridiculous point. This injunction...
Well, there's a lot of stuff sitting around those bonfires that would have been put up yesterday and today that isn't being erected because they're carrying out the rules of the injunction against your advice.
That's an absolute nonsense. That is an absolute nonsense. An injunction that doesn't apply. The injunction does not apply. Since this injunction was granted, until this point in time now, unless it's been affixed as a... sneaked about in the middle of the night, this injunction does not apply. It does not stand. So people are free to stack away, because until the injunction is affixed to a conspicuous part of the land, the injunction does not apply. That is clear. It is blatant. It is in the judgment. It does not apply. Therefore, see as we sit now, this injunction is not worth the paper it's written on.
So you're still calling on people to fail to meet the requirements of the injunction in the last number of hours lead up to the big light?
Once again, you're framing that as people failing to meet the requirements of the injunction. The injunction has not been served. The injunction is not in effect. So nobody is failing to meet the requirements of anything because the injunction has not been affixed to a conspicuous portion of the site. Therefore, it is not in effect. So nobody is bound. Nobody has to abide by what's in the injunction because it's not in effect.
So would you be happy enough to go down to one of those four sites and continue to erect the bonfire because there's still some pallets lying there?
Absolutely. And so should anybody, because what is the impediment?
So why don't you do it? Why aren't you down there helping to build the bonfire then?
Listen, I've been at that bonfire all day yesterday. There is absolutely no impediment to anybody further building those bonfires that are named on the injunction, because the injunction is not in effect. Now, you're a journalist, you're in the media, go and ask the council, is the injunction in effect? Has it been affixed to a conspicuous portion of the land? And if it hasn't, it's not in effect. It effectively does not exist. It's not what the paper's written on. It's toilet paper.
Yeah, that's your interpretation of it, Jamie. But the reality is people have met the requirements of the injunction, and that's why things are pretty calm today.
No. Hold on. Go and read the injunction. It has to be affixed to a conspicuous portion of the site. The injunction does not apply. That is not an interpretation. That is fact.
Okay.
What you're trying to do is spin this and turn this and twist this. Belfast City Council's injunction, A, does not apply, and B, even if it did apply, it has fallen apart for the purposes of what it was designed to do.
No, what I'm trying to do is actually praise the people for remaining calm at a time when there could have been controversy, and we're going into the 11th night in a pretty placid way when a few days ago we mightn't have expected that.
Well, that is due to the positive strategy deployed by loyalism and the young people within loyalism and people in leadership within loyalism. That is why we have a calm situation. Belfast City Council, and especially Sinn Féin, who were calling for the PSNI to go in and try and enforce a civil injunction and clear these sites, are the ones who were trying to agitate for confrontation. Not the loyalist community who have come out of this absolutely fantastically. This injunction is not worth the paper it's written on. It does not apply. It is not in effect. It should be put in the bin.
Okay, Jamie Bryson, thanks for speaking to us. Thank you.
Thank you.